Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of a raw dog food and company where your pet's health is our business and we're friends like my long lost friend, Neely Piazza. Doesn't let friends feed kibble. Well, Neely, you didn't end up in Tennessee or Kentucky, but you're still maybe not going to be in Colorado, but that's fine. You know, Karen wanted to know what I was doing to run everybody off. And I really don't know. But like you and I were talking, you're going to be just like you are now. We're going to work long distance.
Yeah.
Wherever you end up. But I wanted to talk a little bit today kind of about this journey that you're on and kind of a journey that I'm on in regards to, because I think a lot of pet parents, you know, are like when their dogs get sick or when they're looking for new things or new guidance. You know, what does that look like? And so we were talking about, you have this knowing and this resonance and this feeling that it's time for you to be someplace else. And so I just wanted to ask you about that. What is that, for you, and maybe it's different for everyone, but what is that like, this knowing, this feeling, this following, and maybe some type of energetic guidance?
Usually, well, this time in particular, there's one little thing that like sets me off and an idea pops into your head and you're like, oh, okay. So to be specific, I got a postcard in the mail from the electric company saying they were going to install smart meters. And I lost it. I was like, oh, hell no. And people are like, well, you can opt out. Blah. I'm like, and they have, remember, I'm like, I know that's not the point. That's not the point. I did opt out and all that. And they make it way harder. They make it cost a whole lot more and all that. But I went into one of my homeopathy groups and right after that happened and somebody said, well, just move. You don't have to stay there.
All right. So and it's their fault, like, not mine.
Well, yeah. And then I was like, but I just got my house the way I like it and blah, 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 blah. And I was resistant. And truth be told, there had been other things that had happened. And I was like, I should just move. But no, I love my house, blah, 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 blah. And then about a week and a half later, I was like, well, shoot, I should just move. There's no reason I shouldn't. And then all of a sudden I'm moving. But when you come to that, you know, yeah, somebody else presented it, but when it finally came into my mind on my own volition, all of a sudden it's like, well, I guess I'm moving. And you know, I can't seem to shake that feeling that it's time to do it and time to do something different. And now I look around and see all the things that are making me crazy and keeping me from expanding and growing. And you know, I've always had other animals besides dogs, and I can't do that. And I'm in the middle of downtown, and there's kids everywhere running amok. And I feel suffocated, and so now I'm like, okay, I do love my house, but it's too small and the setup is not exactly great for some. I mean, I've made it work, you know, and it's totally feasible and everything, but I need something different. I need more room. I need the option to have a garden and to have, you know, if I want a horse again, this is the first time I've never had, this is the first time in my life I hadn't had a horse. You know, so now it just feels right. I just got to find. And since I do work from home. I just need a phone and an internet, so it doesn't really matter where. So I'm letting the finding the perfect house dictate where I end up. So we've moved on from Kentucky, and now we're exploring Missouri.
There you go. And we sometimes call that misery, but forget I said that. No,
well, we'll see. I'm going next week. We'll see.
When I met Rick, he lived in Missouri and in Parkville. And so, and I lived in, you know, Frisco, Texas. But, you know, I guess the question that sort of has been a theme lately and certainly on all the different podcasts is sort of this, how we maneuver this life. And, you know, you were saying something that you're kind of, I take it that you feel stagnant, right? You feel like you're not in the flow. And what we know is that that's what we call cancer and mold, right? It's stagnation. And you got to keep moving, and you got to keep having joy, a lot more joy than other things. And in today's world, it seems like joy is in short supply. And so, but I think that there's a couple of things, right, that are happening in the world. Like, you don't use your brain. We tell you what to do. We're going to dictate your life. We're going to tell you where you can and cannot go, can and cannot say, and that sort of thing. So that causes some stagnation in people. And then certainly we see it in the health arena, right? Whether that's for people or pets, certainly with the pets, you can't go to daycare, you can't go to boarding facilities, you can't get your toe trims, maybe you can't even get training unless you have all these, as many people would call them, poisons in your dog's body. And so do we just give up, or do we look for guidance in other ways? And if we do that, what's the best way to open up to life? Because
we have to create a step out of where they want us to go, steer to the left, and create our own parallel society, universe, whatever you want to call it. Because I'm not going down, I ain't going through that down the highway through the big gate. I'm going down the side path through the little gate. And because where they want us to go is not in our best interest, and not going to be stagnant is a great word. Well, that's a great word.
You know, I was saying the other day, I was in a situation where I was talking with some people in the traditional medical industry. And what I experienced on a feeling level felt like death. That's what it felt like to me. It felt like death.
They are spellcasters, totally, total spellcasters. And they, the whole industry is like that. And I it's run by demons. I'm sorry. It just is. The whole system is totally demonic.
It was the weirdest thing. Weirdest thing, Niels. I mean, I want, I mean, I'm pretty sure that my face said it all, but I wanted out of there so fast. And then you find people who are in the alternative. I'm not going to say alternative, because as the Bigglesons say, that's like second to that. No, people who are on a living path, a path to health, a true resonation of health, they feel very different. They have hope, right? They have different processes that aren't poisons. And yet, people question that. They question the validity of something that is outside the pharmaceutical arena. And what do you suppose it is? Is it just brainwashing is just something that we've known, but the numbers are there, the information's there that would say that's not a very good track record for health.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you really look at that, I mean, they try to, you know, that whole book, How to Lie with Statistics, that's what they've been doing for years. And the information really is there if you look at it, and you know, they keep moving the bar, right? So to make themselves look better. But you know, traditionally, I mean, like homeopathy basically began in the mid 1700s ish, and it's been around since then. It's been effective and safe for over 200 years, and has, you know, there's no drawbacks, which is why the Rockefellers created the AMA and stomped them out, right? That's where all that stuff is relatively recent. If you look into the history of the medical industry and all that, it's very dark, it's very barbaric, and it's very new, and it is very ineffective and dangerous, in my opinion. I mean, sure, there's been some things that have progressed, and I mean, you know, like broken bones and, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe severe trauma, stuff like that. But beyond emergency accident trauma-based medicine, and even I question even that, but that's what everybody says. But I totally question that too. But yeah, the history of Western medicine is incredibly dark and barbaric and sinister, really. I mean, there's nothing, like you said, it's all about death. There's nothing about life about it. There's nothing, you know, about, yeah, there's nothing curative. There's nothing positive. You know, it's all about oh, you're going to die if you don't do that. It's all fear porn, and it's disturbing.
Well, I said on the podcast yesterday with Dr. Jasek, I said, you know, we were talking about Librela, the new arthritic medicine that now the pet parents are going up. I think my dog died because I put that in its body. But my question to our listeners was this: how many effects, and as you've said, not side effects, effects, how many negative effects do you need to convince you that that one effect that you're going for is in a losing position, right? So if you've got, I want my dog to not limp, I want my dog to not be have arthritis, so I'm willing to go through these other 10 things that are, you know, your lose your ability to breathe and lose your ability to walk and lose your ability to see, maybe, or incontinence or ataxia or seizures. What we don't, we're like, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. And I,
well, go ahead.
Well, I'm wondering if the reason that we're fine with that, because we see those effects, right? And we say, well, that's that dog over there, or it could be that, but it won't be my dog. Won't happen to my dog.
Until it is your dog. Well, and it's amazing to me how many people have been going the conventional route, and like you just said, have problems compounded on top of each other, usually from you know, pharmaceuticals or vaccines or something, or poor diet, whatever. And their problems just get compounded on top of each other, and you add more drugs and more drugs and more drugs. And they're not willing to stop any of those to do more holistic, effective method. And it's like, well, how do I know that's going to work? I'm like, or I don't want to start over. And I'm like, well, what you're doing is obviously not working. So don't you think you need to start over? I mean, don't
Snap
you think
out of it.
That, don't you think you need to let go of what, let go of what is not serving you or your dog and do something different? You're, if you continue down that path, it's, you know, I'm not saying that, that I guarantee 100% that I can fix it, but I can guarantee that the road you're going down is not going to fix it and your dog's going to be dead.
And period. Then, or what we were talking about before the podcast is this, that many people think and believe that the holistic path doesn't work simply because they've used it as a last resort. And
right.
The damage that gets done in the traditional way, whether that's chemo or surgery or radiation, right? So the cut, the burn, and the poison. If, you know, now we are going up against time, okay? And you have to heal all that.
In addition to what started the whole
right.
thing. So people don't understand, and this is something that, if you listen to Dr. Cowan long enough, he'll beat it into your head. Well, and even in homeopathy, we say symptoms are a gift, right? Because symptoms are telling you what's going on, what's happening. What, and Tom will say symptoms are the body's strategy for healing. So whatever symptoms present is a strategic, the best way the body can strategically heal what's happening. So in Western medicine is all about stamping out symptoms and suppressing symptoms, which forces the body to come up with a different strategy that is going to be more risky and more dangerous to other areas because you've forced it to do something other than what it was trying to do in the first place. And, you know, the best way to handle a symptom for, well, I said this last night in a comment. So pharmaceuticals and poor diet and those types of things are obstacles to cure. Always. They are never curative. They're always palliative or suppressive. They're never, ever curative. So the body is creating a symptom as a strategy to heal whatever is happening. It's not, the symptom is not the disease, it's the healing portion, right? So homeopathy, you use those symptoms in order, and you use the remedies that are associated with those symptoms and other things in order to give the body that extra little nudge and push to take that to completion of healing. So you don't snuff out or suppress the symptom. You encourage it, encourage the body to go through that strategy in its totality until it reaches the its goal of healing. Pharmaceuticals do, and Western medicine, the idea is completely the opposite. Completely opposite of that.
It's Beauchamp versus Pasteur.
Exactly. And Pasteur was a total tool.
Fraud.
Totally.
Freaking fraud. You
fraud
head.
Plagiarist, liar.
Sphincter filled fraud.
Total tool, yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Does it stand to reason that your dog's going to get cancer if you put them on Apoquil or Cytopoint? I mean, just what you said, it's a total suppressant. It's not curing the itch. We have
no,
we're not getting at the root cause.
And it'll make it worse. And I'm talking to more and more people, well, this has been going on with Cytopoint for a little bit longer. I've talked to multiple people that Well, and the vets are just handing it out like candy, like antibiotics. Now they're like, oh, you have a little bit of an itch here. Let's do a slide, without any questioning anything. But I've heard from multiple people for the last several years that the side point, it doesn't work at all. They'll do one or two shots of it, and it doesn't do anything at all as far as helping whatever the issue is. And I'm hearing now, this is a little bit newer, but Apoquil is not helping either. And then you have these poor dogs that end up on both, and neither of them are helping. And so it's like, again, please don't do that. I mean, and like what you just said, once you introduce those things, it makes it that much harder to actually reach a curative state, because you have to work through that poisoning, that damage that those things have done, in addition to whatever the original damage was that caused the itching in the first place, which, hint, 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 vaccines, hint, hint, hint.
We were just talking about this, that something, Niels, has really happened in the last 3 years. And Dr. Jasek was saying it appears that, you know, they were talking about that they were going to create these new vaccines, right? During the whole COVID thing. Now, nobody has really taken a look at every ingredient in the rabies vaccine or the other vaccines that dogs have been mandated to put in their bodies, and compared and said, what new additive is causing this insane epidemic, right, of itching? And I am talking, Dr. Jasek has said, you know, and you've seen this, that some people go back, they'll go to Dr. Jasek and they'll come to you, and it's like, what, we cannot get this itching stopped. What do you think? I mean, okay, I know what you think.
This is what I think. I mean, yeah, they could have put different things in there, but I don't think that it's necessarily anything different in the vaccines themselves. I think it is over time, you know, generations in dogs is a whole lot shorter than people, right? So you're going to see changes a lot faster in small, you know, in dogs or cats or whatever, than you are going to see in people. So the cumulative damage that's been done over the last several generations to just dogs in general is leaving them less and less and less viable. Whether that particular dog, I mean, say you got a puppy just as it was being weaned it onto raw, didn't vaccinate it, didn't do any of the things, and it's still got problems. It's because it's not, I'm not going to say genetics, because that's a whole nother bag of worms that right. is not what people think it is. But basically the vital force going through the energy of the, just the dog itself is not there. So they don't have, like in Chinese medicine, it's like the kidney is the source of original qi. And one way that it was explained at one point was, you have a bucket of qi when you're born, and everybody's level is different. But as time goes on, you know, the bucket tips and spills out. And so as you get older, you have less and less qi, right? Well, I think that what is happening is dogs have been so compromised with all this quote unquote preventative toxic sludge that they've been given all this time that their original qi buckets are barely half full. So they're having more and more trouble. And there's things in the environment that are so much more toxic, even that we don't know about. I mean, you know, the radio waves, the 5G, all that stuff that we can't see, that we're not privy to, that we don't know about. I've actually talked to a couple of people recently that don't know have never heard of chemtrails. I'm like, what rock have you been under? But, you know, that kind of stuff that we don't know exactly what it is. We don't have a way to know exactly what it is, but you can't escape from it, you know? And dogs are much more susceptible to, like, they're way more susceptible to 5G and that kind of stuff because they're on the ground. And then the toxic stuff that is in just naturally in carpets and rugs and furnitures and things like that, they're closer to it. And, you know, they're more exposed to that kind of stuff even than we are. And I think it's more that they're so compromised going into it that they just can't fight off or deal with all of it as a conglomerate of things. So now, if you give any kind of anything, it becomes a straw that breaks the camel's back, you know, just all of a sudden it's like, it cripples the system and it can't manage anymore. So all this stuff comes out. That's what I think.
You know, we are going to have the Bigglesons on next week from BigglesonsAcademy.com who look at blood and live blood, not the exact same thing as the live blood people that are out there today talking about mRNA and you've got this in your blood and that in your blood from the vaccine.
Yeah, they don't know what they're talking about.
Right. That's kind of a capitalization stealing information that is incorrect. But one of the things that they do say about all of these poisons, right, of all these EMFs, of all this stuff that's in the world, they're like, look, our bodies, and actually I am interested to see if they think the dog, I would assume that they're going to say dog bodies as well. They do say that we live in a symbiotic world, that our bodies will change along yep. with the terrain, okay? Yep. That we will adapt. Now, this was very interesting. They were saying that every year, right, when we call it flu season, when we call it whatever it is, where everybody's sneezing and coughing and fever and this and that, they say, look, your body is adjusting to the terrain, is adjusting to new things that are out there, are adjusting. This is what your body does to adjust. And what do? Yeah. We go in and we put things in our body that shove that stuff back down. And you said yep. forever, if it needs to come out, let it come out, right?
Yeah, I have been saying that forever.
Right? And they say the same thing. They're like, this is your body's way of recalibrating to some degree, to a big degree, I should say. And because your body is always moving towards health, this is the difference between what people talk about as the terrain or past Beauchamp versus Pasteur, right? So Pasteur would say yeah. you've got to build up your immune system, you got to fight those germs, you got to fight that disease, you got to, you know, take this and take that so these invaders can't get in your body. Now, we just talked about that. Yeah, there's a toxic environment out there. But what they're saying is you will adapt if your body is working correctly, meaning right. that all the cylinders are opened up. You don't have structural blockages. You don't have emotional scars. You don't have real scars. You don't have things that have cut off vital nutrients through the meridians, let's say like your teeth or this or that, you know, that you mm-hmm. you've caused no nutrition to go in that area. So I thought that was a very, because here's what they in their talks they say, stop worrying about all of that stuff. What you want to worry about is getting your body aligned to flow, right? So we talked about stagnation, of being stagnant in a certain place, and they're saying like cancers are a stagnation, and the body is trying to tell you, and it probably has in many ways said, you've got a stagnant flow.
Yeah.
And you don't pay attention and you don't pay attention. So the body says, okay, mold is a recycling program. Cancer is a recycling program. We're getting ready to recycle you basically is what how they describe it. And they talk about in these tombs that they've, you know, that they've looked at over centuries is where there's three different molds. There's a circulatory mold, there's an arthritic mold, and then there's a cancerous mold. And there's all these different types of stagnations. So that's very interesting, right? And so the question would be, how do we make sure that we're flowing? And how do we make sure that our dogs are flowing? And you know, one of the things that they harp on all the time that they say is the number one thing is structurally aligned, that the body must be structurally aligned. And this is one of the reasons that I love chiropractic for pets, right? But they look at three different things. One is homeopathy. You know, they're like, first, you got to get structurally aligned. And mm-hmm. then homeopathy, and then there's one more, and I forget what it is. But they're very big on that, is keeping out the poisons, making sure your body is aligned, and whether that's to see a chiropractor or an osteopath. And then what they do is they look at the blood that will give off some sort of imagery that says, here's what my body is worried about at the moment. And it's very fascinating. So I would just encourage people to go over to BigelsonAcademy.com, BIGELSEN Academy.com, and begin to look in their stuff, because I'd never heard of it before. Never. Right. And I was looking for some answers, and all of a sudden they appear. That's weird, isn't it, Niels?
Funny how that works, isn't it?
It's weird. How's that happen?
Yeah. Exactly. Stuff presents itself when you're ready to see it. I can totally get behind that. I mean, it is, you know, that whole you have to compete with and conquer and control nature is backwards. You have to, like what you just said, you have to flow with nature. You have to be symbiotic with nature. And that's what I'm always talking about with the microbes and the parasites and all that. It's a symbiotic relationship. It's when, and you don't go through and sterilize things. You have to flow with it. And yeah, the whole adaptive thing absolutely is true.
Well, they were talking about like, the parasites are there. They're there for a reason.
They're there because there's something for them to eat. And right. when there's not anything for them to eat, they'll go away. Right. So, you know, they're doing the same with the bacteria. They're doing the body a favor. They're working with, you know, they're working in conjunction with what's happening. Trying to, like you said, the body's always trying to move towards a state of health, right? And one of the biggest problems is the body, be it people, be it dogs, be it horses, be it whatever, the body is absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. We just have to get out of its way.
That's the problem. We don't know right? how to get out of its way.
We don't know how to leave it alone and get out of its way.
And you know, I'm learning a lot of things about this hydraulic system that's inside of us, right? So these five diaphragms, Niels, two in the brain that allow the brain to open up this way and this way, or the skull, right? It's almost like a breathing. So there's two there. There's one in the thyroid. There's one in the place that we all associate the diaphragm with. And then there's one in the pelvis. And there's a video that basically shows when all of these are opening up, right? When you're doing deep breathing, when there's not a blockage somewhere, when you're not like in fear and like we hunker down.
Yeah. And you just, when you did that, and no, this is audio, but when you did that, your whole body tightened up. And that is exactly how I feel about moving. I feel constricted and tight and not able to breathe, to bring everything full circle.
You that's mean exactly you feel tight right now, and that's right. why you want to move.
Right. I need to be able to breathe and expand and to flow and to equilibrate again.
Yeah, and that's how you keep that hydraulic system going. It's amazing to me the things that, I mean, I have no idea about my own body. I mean, like they were talking about that. One of the reason that sometimes dental work can be such a detriment to your health is because part of that hydraulic system that sends that cerebral fluid up and down through the whole body, the suction comes from you swallowing. And when you take a tooth out and it's not replaced, and even that can have its, you know, issues. In their holographic blood, it was showing this one person a dental implant, right? Now, they don't know this person has a dental implant. And the holographic images that come up are an energy field, okay? Yeah. And it can sound extremely woo-woo. But if you look back in time, these things have been there, right?
The mouth and dental issues are huge.
Are huge. And you got to wonder how huge they are in dogs too, right? Because they, yeah. One of the things that they say is they're like, you know, once the mouth collapses, the rest of the body begins to start collapsing. And when they do their talks, they're like, now don't be afraid. If you've had a root canal and you've had this, or you've had that, that doesn't mean you're going to die, blah, blah, blah. Right. They do explain that. But my point is this, that we've gotten so far away from what it really means to be healthy, because we have no idea how the body even freaking works. You know, we say this about in the vet industry all the time. We're like, how is it that you're in the pet health business, quote unquote, wink, wink, and you don't realize that this animal that's in front of you is a carnivore?
I know, right?
How is it that you have any business treating a living thing that you don't even understand what they are?
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing good ever comes from going to the vet. I say that all the time too. I was going to say something and it left.
All right. Well, it'll come back to you because I'm going to ramble on. So I had this customer who said to me, I think the bones in the blend are too large because my dog keeps like doing this biting thing, right? Like messing with the bones on the teeth. And I said, well, here's the thing. In the blends, the bones aren't big enough for them to chew on. Okay. One, they're just going to lick and swallow. But number two, dogs don't have hinged jaws. And number three, their teeth are all pointed. So it would be difficult for them to find a bone to balance on those pointy teeth. Right? I'm like, so let's look at, do we have, is there something else going on? Is it that the food is cold and it's bothering their teeth, or teeth are sensitive? Or, you know, is it something else? But I'm like, I don't see how that would even be a thing. Right? Because dogs will leave bones in their bowl. Dogs will leave bones on the floor if they find that it's weird to them or they don't want to swallow it. They are not going to choke on those. Right? That's just that it's almost impossible. And I always say, did your dog actually choke to the point they were turning blue? Can a dog turn blue? I don't know. But anyway, you know, versus it's just a fear of yours that's creating a scenario that doesn't actually come to fruition.
Yeah. That it's more that what I was going to say is a while ago is people think that the definition of health is the absence of disease, and that's not at all true. They create these horrible scenarios in their head and these self-fulfilling prophecies, and they like, well, this is, or they teach their dog to be a picky eater, or they teach them to be or don't teach them to be dogs. I don't know. I'm not saying that very well, but any kind of problem like that a dog has is human created, I guess. Maybe that's
well. I want to say this. I just talked to a customer today who's been on several of the podcast and webinars with us where you have said, feed them once a day. You got a picky eater, you got an overweight, feed them once a day. And she said to me today, she goes, that is a lifesaver. That saved me so much. She said, biggest picky eater ever until I put him on once a day and now he's fine.
Yep. That once a day thing, I'm telling you, people argue with me about it, and some people that I have immense respect for don't, I mean, they're fine with it, but they don't think that it's nearly as important. And in some cases, it is a total game changer. And it's for a lot of different reasons and in a lot of different scenarios, it can be a total game changer. So, and maybe not for every single dog on the planet, but there are certain situations where I have seen just doing that make a monstrous difference.
Yeah. Well, we switch laws to once a day. Our kids switch their dogs all over to once a day, and everybody's seeing great results from it. So that's, you know, you guys try it. And I did say
to this, I know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like I'm crazy.
Hey, I've been saying that for years. Okay?
You have. You have been my biggest cheerleader ever since I can remember.
I ain't stupid.
No, you're not.
I ain't stupid. Okay, so before we end, I just want to bring it back to this. I want to ask you again to explain this. Symptoms are a blessing. So can you just
elaborate on that?
Elaborate on that so that when pet parents see that the dog has got some symptoms, right? We got some things going on. What would be another way to look at this? If it is really true, and you and I do, and I think the question is, do you believe that germs are out to get you, or do you believe that the body is always trying to move to keep you alive? Is your body really trying to kill you? And some people will say this, well, no, I'm not trying to kill me, but the rest of the world is trying to kill me. That may be true.
Yeah,
but anyway,
that goes back to the body being brilliant. And if it's presenting a symptom to you, that is information. That's a clue. That's something to use so that you can. Well, in homeopathy, it gives you an opportunity to use one remedy or another to try to determine what the underlying issue is. Again, to give the body that little bit of a nudge to go to completion, to healing, right? So, again, it's that better for it to come out than to stay in, right? So if there's a symptom presenting itself, it's there to give you information on what has been or is wrong. It's always the body's strategic healing mechanism for whatever's underlying it. And you take that information and use it to help it heal it, to help it continue to heal itself, to get towards health. It's not a disease. The symptom is not a disease. It's a healing mechanism, totally healing mechanism. So if you're presenting symptoms, then that tells you that the body's trying to heal itself, right? So you just need to help it. So take that as information to move forward. Don't freak the heck out.
So I want to read this and tell you what their remedy does because it relates right with what you do. Okay. This is the Biggleson's. This coming out of their book, Holographic Blood. And basically this is the information that their father, Harvey, worked on for 40 years. Okay. And by the way, Edward Casey was a part of his journey. So this particular person, her name's Sally, they said she arrived with a diagnosis of pemphigus, It's a fatal treatment, which went straight to the heart of her problem, skin disease. And although on heavy doses of cortisone, she had giant blisters all over her body. Now I'm talking about humans here and how homeopathy can work. And here's, you know, they do the same thing. They're like, your symptom is just a clue. It's a puzzle. Right. That we're going to put together. Now they have the option to look at the blood and see what's happening. So what they did was, so they said they had to get her off of cortisone because it and other steroid drugs were masking the image of health, shown in the live blood, but her eosinophil counts were up 30%, indicating an ongoing condition such as an allergy. Okay. And her blood contained these simplasts that look like thorns. Okay. This is how the holographic analysis worked. So they said the blood was showing these thorns, right? And obviously, there's no thorns in the blood, guys, or you'd be dead because you can't have stuff like that size in your blood.
Is she allergic to roses?
Well, no, here's what they found out. They learned that she had a severe accident 20 years previously where she had fallen into a poison ivy patch, and the rash from that plant toxin covered her from head to toe. Mm-hmm. And although it appeared that she had overcome this incident, in reality, her body had not been successful in purging all the plant
constituents.
Thank you, constituents. Yes, and so her body spent years attempting to expel toxins, and her terrain took on the characteristics of this chronic allergy. And what it signaled was that the toxin had finally penetrated her cells. So here's what they did. They said just 1 week after injecting Sally's joints with homeopathic Roostox.
Yeah. I knew it.
Roostox. I was like, I should have asked you before. But they said the thorn simplest in her blood started to dissipate. And after 2 weeks, her blisters were gone. And by week three, her blood was clear. So they said this is a classic example of the live blood showing, you know, what the essence of the problem is. And that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was still causing problems with the body. And so what they did is put the Roostox. So what is
Roostox? Because it was suppressed. It was because the whole body trying to heal itself had been suppressed and driven deeper. Roostox is poison ivy it's poison oak.
Yeah, so I mean, isn't that amazing that homeopathy works? And you gotta wonder why, because it's not killing the rest of your body.
Well, and Roostox is a polycrust remedy. It's amazing. It's fantastic for stiff and sore joints. It's fantastic for some types of itching. Joette has used it for chicken pox. And again, all those different things, but the core issue is the same. And so the remedy is the same, and it works fantastic for all of those things. So the power of homeopathy is off the charts.
Do you find yourself working with dogs that have cancer in the homeopathic remedies?
I send all the cancer dogs to Dr. Jacek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's got
to
be.
I mean, I'm happy to help people, but usually this is why I don't acknowledge cancer, because people flip out. They hear the big C word and they like go into some sort of zone weirdness. And, if I'm not able to help them and their dog gets worse or dies or something, it's my fault and I'm not going there.
So.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
And that's her thing. So I'm like, you know, I would just, those people I will totally help with diet, and general stuff like that. 100%. But as far as treating the actual thing, I'm going to send them to her.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I would like to get a better understanding on from the Bigglesons are going to be allergies. You know, what the heck? What is it? What is it? What do you say they are?
Well, since we know that the immune is, there's no such thing as an immune system, right? That's just kind of a made up concept. It's I don't really know. It 100% of the time starts with vaccines, though. I know that. And other things can exacerbate it. But it just is makes the body unnaturally reactive to certain things that it wouldn't normally be. So there's some sort of it's either reacting to a poison or I don't really know.
It's almost as if the body's miscategorizing. So
there's some sort of loop or something, information loop or something that is interfered with and makes it take a wrong turn or misinterpret something or something like that.
It's almost like this. The good guys are mixed in with the bad guys. And therefore, every time you see the good guys, you still think they're the bad guys because you saw them the first time with the bad guys and they all dressed alike and they all looked
but
alike.
But there's not any bad guys. Remember?
Okay. Yeah. See, this is the problem.
See, it's hard to wrap your brain around it.
Maybe
because...
it's that, well, there has, poisons have to be the bad guys.
Yeah.
I mean, but I don't know. So
we'll say that's bad guys. Yeah.
It's a journey for sure. But one thing we can tell you guys is that
conventional medicine is not going to help you at all.
And I'm going to say it one more time. If the effects, you want to call them side effects or whatever, if you can read all of those and say to yourself, I'm okay with all of these. Even if you add the word possibilities, I'm okay with rolling the dice because I want this one thing. Is there another way that you can get that thing that you want? Like, you know, arthritic.
Without having, yeah.
Yeah, relieving arthritic pain without adding in ataxia, severe urinary incontinence, you know, death. Is there another way for us to get there other than that? And again, Neely, I will say that we're being trained by the commercials on TV that read off the dangerous effects while nice, fun music and sights are being pumped into us so that the body almost, the mind doesn't even listen.
Trying to normalize it. And I'm always amazed whenever I see something like that. I'm like, how can people see that and still think it's okay to take that? I don't get it. It's kind of like, I've said this before too. It's like people ask all kinds of questions and get all worried about silly things about feeding real food. And yet, you ask them what medications their dog's on, and they're like, oh, he's on something for this and this, and I don't know what that's for. They'll just shove pills down them without even thinking twice about it. But when it comes to real food, they're like all paranoid and worried. I'm like, how in what universe does that make any sense at all? I don't get it.
No, I know. And it's a tough one to try to answer. But sometimes you just have to say, listen, your biggest concern right now is getting all of these toxins out of your dog, right? Not what did that chicken eat today that I'm feeding my dog, right? I get it, right? But you're like, does it really matter what the chicken ate if you're pumping in, flea and tick, heartworm, vaccine, Cytopoint, right. Apoquil, prednisone? Yeah. I mean, does it really matter?
No, that's the least of your worries at that point. Absolutely. That's kind of what I'm talking about. I'm like, yeah, we get it. We know all that stuff, but that really should come at the end. If you haven't cleaned everything else up, then that's not even a question worth asking at this point, I don't think.
Right. I want to say you're not to that level yet. You haven't even started. You haven't taken the first step.
Exactly.
So let's not talk ourselves out of doing the best thing that you can do for your dog, feeding them a species appropriate all raw diet, before, you know, and you're just going to go ahead and give the animal all sorts of stuff because you've been fed a narrative that, you know, if that squirrel pee gets on your dog's nose, they're going to somehow be frothing at the mouth or have leptospirosis, right?
Yeah. And I'm sorry, but I have never seen a dog fall over dead from licking squirrel pee, but I have heard multiple firsthand accounts of dogs falling over dead seconds after getting a lepto vaccine.
Right. Right. And that
I haven't personally witnessed it, just to be transparent, but I have heard multiple firsthand accounts. So,
right. All right, everybody, get over to wholeanimalwellness.com. That is Miss Neely Piazza's site. You can also find her in our Learning Center under Health Consults, or on many pages it says Book the Nutritionist. That is Neely. You will get a discount coming through the Raw Dog Food site, but you can also just go straight to Neely's and say, hey, I heard you on the podcast, and she'll probably give you the discount.
I'll give you a discount, yeah.
There you go. There you go. She has a chat site. Chat sites are great. You can just pop in there and she'll tell you whether she can help you or not, or whether you're going to JASIC. And right. And but either one of these are going to move you towards health and not death. I mean, just going to be candid about that. Or move your pet that direction and get you on the right path. And also to maybe clarify some of the things that you've heard on the podcast, you know, set up a consult and just do a talking consult. Ask her, you know, what she thinks, what she's seen, what she studied, why she sees that way. What have you learned over the 44 certificates that you have in, you know, and why should I listen to you? Why shouldn't I? So this was funny. And I'm going to let you guys go, but I'm going to tell you this story first. So there was a customer who was having issues with their dog, and directly in opposition. How do I say this? And they wanted to work with a 20-year-old. And I'm not saying that 20-year-olds don't have information, but a 20-year-old who was working behind the counter at a dog food store over the advice of Dr. Jasek. And so Dr. Jasek was like, well, then that's what you need to go do. But I'm just saying that when you are looking at who you want to help you on your path, guys, you really want to be looking at who has a body of work. Who has a body of work? Years of work, of transformations, of moving across different, you know, realms, of moving towards health. Who has that information? And there's a reverend, and there's a dog nutritionist born every moment via paying somebody on the internet. Right? Meaning that I can go become a reverend just by paying, I don't know how much it is, $79, maybe not even that much. Does that mean I really know anything about spirituality or whatever? You know, my body of work is in pet health, right? My body of work is in getting up and talking, right? Being an entertainer. That's my most of my body of work throughout my life. But when you're looking at who do you want to put your pet's health hands in, make sure that they have a lot of information behind them, a lot of experience, hands-on experience, where they are actually doing trial and error and working with people who are even more experienced than they are. And that's what you've always done, Neely. You've always, you know, you worked with Tom Cowan and you worked with Dr. Billinghurst and you've worked with who's the homeopathic lady that you've studied?
Joette Calabrese.
What's her last name?
Joette Calabrese.
Joette, right? These are people who have massive amounts of experience and information. So be careful who you put your pet's health life's hands in. Did I say that right? Somewhere in there.
They know what you meant.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, we know what you're saying.
Yeah, so I just wanted to say, you know, be careful about that because it could be a lot of money and a lot of bad decisions. But anyway, find Neely at WholeAnimalWellness.com or on my site in the Learning Center under Health Consults or Book a Nutritionist. And then get your dogs on a species appropriate diet. If you're not there, you haven't even taken the first step.
Right? That's right.
Get them off the kibble, stop the allergy test, and get over there. I'll help you, I'll help you place your first order. It's not that difficult. We are the Mexican restaurant menu of raw dog food. That is true. We have a lot of options. We went to a Mexican restaurant the other day and we were like, good night. There's a lot of options here. And I said, that's the way people feel when they come to our site. They're like, too many options. So we'll help you. All right. Get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com where your pet's health is our business. And what, Niels?
Friends don't let friends feed kibble.
That's right. We'll see you soon, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snaps. Snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.